Good morning. Can we look to Galatians chapter 4? Galatians chapter 4, we'll read from verse 1. I'm reading from the King James Version. It says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he's master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the appointed time by the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." Verse 6, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, which teaches us about yourself and about your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the purpose for which he came to earth. We thank you for this time again when we can tell the world about him. And as we do so, Father, may we all have open hearts to hear what you are saying to us. And Father, once we are clear that this is what you are saying to us, once we are clear with your message to our individual hearts, we pray, O Father, that we'll have the courage to act upon it. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. My mind went this morning to verse 3 when our brother Bonet was giving the exhortation for the baby. He mentioned the world. And verse 3 points to the statement he made directly. It says, "Even when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world." And that verse tells us that if you're not in Christ, you are under the sway of the world, the things of the world. So to be separated from the world, or at least to begin your separation from the world, it means that you must be in Christ. It is Christ who gives us the power to separate ourselves from the bondage or the elements of the world, right in the passage here that we read this morning. But that is not the focus of my message. I want to focus more on verse 4. I was preparing for the message this morning, of course, and like most people, looking to the Gospels. And then a little more than a month ago or so, I was doing a quiet time, which fell for a few weeks in the book of Galatians. And when it came to chapter 4 and this verse, it suddenly occurred to me, here's my Christmas story and here's my Christmas message indeed, because while it was not focusing on Christmas, it was more an overview of the book of Galatians, a very powerful book, a very powerful message by the Apostle Paul to the Galatians, who were turning back to the law, and he wanted to set the record straight. He was so disappointed in them for turning away from the things that he taught them, and now were trying again to be law keepers to please God. But like I said, reading this verse really pointed me to my message today. And I just want to share some thoughts that comes more so from verse 4. I want to first take your attention to verse 2, which says, but under the guardians, let me read from the beginning. Let me tie 1 and 2 up. It says, now I say that an heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but under the guardian and steward until the appointed time. When the time was right, when the father made the decision to remove the guardians, then he was free. Appointed time by the father. Even so, when we were children, we were under the bondage of and elements of the world. Verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, just like when the father had made the appointed time, had decided upon a time when the child should be free from the guardians, just so the message is telling us, just so God had an appointed time, when the fullness of time had come, when it was time to remove us from under the law, God sent Jesus. God's timing is very important. There is no timing like God's timing. And indeed, it's the number one problem. Well, I shouldn't say number one, but it's right up there with any other problem that man has with God, in particular his children. It's God's timing. We are always in a hurry. We want things to happen fast. But God takes his time. We do well to follow God's timing, but I will admit, every one of us will admit, it is not easy to wait on God. We want to see things moving fast. But God knows the right time when certain things should happen, just like he knew the right time when Jesus Christ should come. So many things had to fall in place. There were many prophecies in the Old Testament about when Jesus would come, under what conditions he would come, where he would be born. So many things had to fall in place, and God knew exactly when that would happen. And when that appointed time came, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, in the fullness of time, the right time, the perfect time. Don't try to get ahead of God, fellow believers. Let us be a little patient, and I speak to my own self as I tell you that. Because sometimes we think God is taking just too long. I want it now. Timing is one of our problems with God. At the fullness of time, God. Notice who sent Jesus. Jesus didn't just pick up himself and said, you know what? Let me come to earth. No, Jesus coming to earth was because it was a decision made by the Father, his Father. God is the one who made his decision. God sent forth his Son. God made the decision. God saw our condition. God knew that the timing was right, and God had already made a decision that man would be redeemed and the way he would be redeemed. And when that perfect time came, when the fullness of time came, when the appointed time came, God sent his son. God sent his son. It's a reminder that our salvation is not because of our initiative. So many places in Scripture we see that. Our salvation came about because of God's initiative, not ours. We didn't plan our own salvation. Our salvation was as a result of the Father's decision. God sent His Son. The other implication here is that God sent one who was already existing. What is implied here is clearly the pre-existence of Jesus Christ. It didn't say God created Jesus Christ and sent him then. No, God sent his Son. His Son was already existing. And there are many, many scriptures to back that up. I want to leave a few with you so you don't think it's just an opinion of mine. When we turn to John chapter 6 and verse 33, we hear Jesus here reading. He says, "For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world," in verse 33. In verse 38 of that very chapter, he says, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Even Jesus Christ acknowledging here that he was sent by the Father. But here he speaks to his pre-existence. He said, "I came down." He was already existing. His birth at Bethlehem was not the first time Jesus came into being. One more verse and we move on to prove of his pre-existence. In John chapter 8 and verse 58, Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." It says, so they pick up stones and throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. People have a problem with that. They said Jesus didn't mean what he really meant. The funny thing is, the people who heard it understood what he meant and they tried to stone him. We think we understand Jesus better today than the people who heard him. They understood what he was saying, that he was older than Abraham, essentially. He existed before Abraham. Before Abraham was, I am. They tried to stone him. This guy is crazy. Let's stone him. They understood. Jesus pre-existed before Abraham even was born. The next thing the verse tells us is that Jesus was born of a woman. Born of a woman. Note that it does say nothing about a man. Jesus was born of a woman. It doesn't say anything about a man. Poor men. Isaiah understood what that meant. Many years before Jesus was born, Isaiah said, and I'm reading from Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Hundreds of years before Jesus Christ was born, the prophet, God himself through a prophet, gave a sign that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Born of a woman. Some people don't feel good about Christmas if they don't read the Christmas story. So what I was thinking about is if we could put on the screen King James Version. That's what I'm using. Matthew chapter 1. And I think we all can read from verse 18 through verse 25, which ties into this Jesus born of a woman. If we can just put that on the screen, and I think we all can read it together. Matthew chapter 1. Yes, okay. How about if we read together? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took upon him wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth the firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. There is your Christmas story. Virgin shall bring forth a child. But there's something else that I get when I read that passage, particularly in verse 25. Hear what it says. But knew her not until she had given birth to a child. But knew her not until she had given birth to a child. There's something that is being said there if you read it long enough and close enough. What it's saying here is that even after Mary had given birth to Jesus, she was still a virgin. Even after Jesus was born, Mary was still a virgin. There are a lot of pregnancies, a lot of meaningful pregnancies in the world today, special people being born. But when the Lord Jesus Christ was being born, this was all God's doing, and it was something extra special. It was no ordinary birth. God knew the time to bring forth Jesus. It was the right time. And like I said before, timing is our big problem with God. When man takes God's timing in his own hands and tries to do things without allowing God to do it, we have a problem. Always there's a problem. You remember Abraham and Sarah? God had made his promise to Abraham and said, I will give you a son after your own flesh. And Abraham, he stumbled a bit. I couldn't see the possibility of this happening. But God said, no, I'm going to give you. He had complained that Eliezer was his only descendant who really is an Egyptian, his servant. God said, no. As you go outside, God took him outside. You see, can you come to stars outside, Abraham? He says, as many of the stars are above the earth, even so are your descendants going to be. A month passed, 2 months passed, 6 months passed, a year passed. And Abraham saw nothing happen. Abraham decided to take matters in his own hands. He and his wife. They had a problem with God's timing. God is God. God can do what he wants when he wants. We need to understand that. When the angel went to Mary, Luke tells us that when Mary was saying, "How can this be?" Gabriel said to her, "With God, all things are possible." Putting it another way, Gabriel is saying to her, "With God, nothing is impossible. God can do what he wants. He's God. He made the world, didn't he?" People get excited when they see a new iPhone or they see a new this, a new car, and all of that. The very things those things are made with came some things that God created. God is not surprised. God is God. They decided, you know what? I got a servant here. It was his wife Sarah's suggestion. I'm gone past that age. I can't do it. Could you imagine how disappointed God was? He went ahead and she gave her a servant. Servant Hagar gave birth to that son called Ishmael. And it became such a thorn. She became such a thorn in Sarah's side. She complained. She turned around. Remember, she's the one who gave Abraham the idea. And when Ishmael was born, and all of a sudden Hagar began to behave like she was the first lady. Her head swole. Her head had swollen bigger than her waist. She had an attitude now. After all, she got a child. Sarah got no child. And Sarah complained to Abraham. Abraham said, "Do what you want. Whatever you decide is okay." And of course, Sarah decided to turn the screw. And she turned the screw until Hagar could take it no more. And she ran. She ran. She couldn't take it. In this very passage, this very chapter, verse 29 actually of Galatians 4, Paul said something about that decision. Quite interesting. He says, Galatians 4 and 29, he says, "But as he who was born according to the flesh," that's referring to Ishmael, "but as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit," that is referring to Isaac, he says, "even so it is now." You understand what Paul is saying there? Let me read it again. He says, "But as he who was born according to the flesh, then persecuted him who was born according to the flesh, even so it is now." Paul is saying that even though hundreds of years have passed, this decision, this wrong decision that Abraham made, even today, hundreds of years later, we are still experiencing the consequences. That's what he's saying. Be careful with your timing as opposed to God's timing. Be patient with God. If God says so, it is so. It will happen. I can't resist this. 2 days ago, I was reading, just going through Facebook, and I saw this little caption, and I said, matter of fact, last night when I was putting my notes together, it came back to me, and I said, I wonder if I should share it. This morning I got up again, and it came back to me. I said, okay, and I wrote it on a little piece of paper. An acrostic is, it says, "New protocol, COVID-19 protocol." It says, "Avoid touching men." It's an acrostic. M is for mouth. Avoid touching your mouth. E is for eyes. N is for nose. M-E-N. But then it says, "Instead, follow women." And the acrostic is wash hands, W for wash. O, obey social distancing. M, mask up. E, exercise and eat well. And N, no unnecessary traveling. When I was reading this and the thought of the verse or the slogan that says, born of a woman, this came to mind and it just came back here. I said, you know what, let me just share it. It sounds like something from the Department of Health, but it's kind of funny. Follow women instead of men. Anyhow, we move on. So Jesus was born of a woman. And then the next thing it says, born under the law. Born under the law. What does that mean? It means that Jesus Christ had to be like one of us. That's simply what it means. For every law of nature and every law that man was subjected to, Jesus had to subject himself to the same law to experience what we experienced. If he was going to die for us, he must be like us. Born under the law. In other words, he became a man like every person who has ever lived. Born of a woman. That's why he had to be born of a woman, because he had to subject himself to the same laws that man subjected himself to. Suppose Jesus had appeared as a man, just a grown man, and then was put to death. There'd be arguments and more arguments and still more arguments of, was he really a man? How come he wasn't born like the way we were born, of a woman? And God eliminated that by subjecting Jesus Christ to the same level of man. The one difference is, after he was born, until the time he died, he committed no sin. He committed no sin. He was just. Jesus Christ was born under the law. I mean, the verse really, it just hands Christmas to you practically. Born under the law. Jesus Christ was born under the law. He was like man. He experienced all the effects of being a man. The Bible tells us that he cried. The Bible tells us that he was tired. The Bible tells us that he was hungry. Every experience that man could, Jesus experienced. Isaiah describes in Isaiah 53 and verse 3, like a man, it says he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. In other words, even hundreds of years again here, God was saying to the prophet that this Savior that he would send would come as a man. He wouldn't be some superhuman to die on the cross for us. He died. He felt the same pain that you and I feel if we are whipped. And we must understand also that the same pain that Jesus Christ experienced on the cross of Calvary is exactly the same pain that we should have experienced for our sin. He took our places. Christ died for us. Isaiah said, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow and familiar with suffering. Jesus Christ was truly man, even as also he was truly God. We sing that song, man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came, ruined sinners to reclaim. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Jesus Christ was born as a man. Galatians 4:4, and I want to close off here quickly. Galatians 4:4 tells us that Jesus came the right time. God's perfect timing. It also shows us that Jesus came the right way. Born of a woman. Born under the law. Verse 5 tells us something else, which is important. Verse 5 tells us why he came. The very first two words of verse 5 tells us exactly why Jesus came. And this is what we must understand about Christmas. If we don't understand this, then we don't really understand Christmas. Those two words says, to redeem. To redeem, that's it. Christ came to redeem. Man needed redemption. You and I needed a Savior, or otherwise we would have had to die for our own sin. If we were to be redeemed, then God must have sent a Redeemer. Christ came to redeem. I have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ died on the cross for me. Are you one of his redeemers? Do you consider yourself to be redeemed by God? Oh, I trust that you have. If not, I couldn't think of a more perfect time for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. Because Christ died so that you may no longer be judged by the law. And this is what the whole book is about. But instead, through grace, by believing. By believing. This was the promise that God gave to Abraham that superseded the law. And that's another subject in itself, because Paul did such a wonderful job. He says, listen, God gave Abraham the promise 430 years before the law came into existence. And I want you to know that that promise is still true. But God gave Moses the law. You know why? Because he wanted to show us how imperfect we are. We can't please God. We can't follow the law. No matter how we try. As a matter of fact, we go back to chapter 3. It says in verse 10. It says, curse is everyone who continue not in all things which are written in the book of the law. All things. You know what it's saying there? If you miss it once, if you miss it one way, you have a bad thought against of God. You do so, any little thing that you do that is sin, you have transgressed against the entire law of God. God put that in place to show us we can't keep it, no matter how we try. Try all you want. All those who think they can keep the law, I wish them luck. Know this, you're saved only by Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God. For if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. If you belong to Christ, chapter 3 and verse 29, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs or beneficiaries according to the promise that God gave to Abraham. Are you Abraham's seed? The children back in the day thought they were saved because they were children of Abraham, or descendants, I beg your pardon, of Abraham. But here, Paul is making it known that you are a seed of Abraham. if you believe in Abraham's God, if you trust in God by faith. Because when Abraham believed God, God counted it for righteousness. That is why Paul was so disappointed that they were trying to please God by way of the law. God loved us. John 3:16 says, God so loved. God so loved. Understand what it's saying there. It was a do something about it love. That's what it's saying. God so loved that he gave his only beloved son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life can be yours. Listen, don't refuse to accept Jesus Christ because you think that, you know what, I can't live as a Christian. I can't live that tight life. I can't live that strict life. I'm going to disappoint God. Listen, we all disappoint God. We all have missteps. But the grace of God can pull you through. God has his way. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We are not saved because of our good actions. Had that been the case, we would never be saved. But God loved us, and he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Jesus came to die that we might live. Hasn't God been good to you? When you think of the thousands of people who are affected by this virus, when you think of the homes, some people have lost both parents. Many people have lost both parents. Many people have lost their grandmothers, brothers, sisters. All because of this virus. Over 315 or somewhere around there, 1,000 people. And many more to go. Aren't you thankful that you are not numbered among those? Praise God, we are here and we can still hear his word. A good time to give your heart to God this Christmas time. You'll never forget it. Oh, 2020 is about to go, and we can't wait for it to go for us to say good riddance. But there's a reason for you to remember 2020 if at this time you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Let us bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus. We thank you for his coming. We thank you for showing us that Jesus Christ came the right time. It was your timing. We thank you for showing us that Jesus Christ came the right way. He was born of a woman, but she was a virgin. It was your doing. Man had nothing to do with it. And then he was born under the law. He was like one of us. Thank you for showing us this, oh God. And then you showed us, of course, why he came. He came to redeem us. We needed redemption. Oh God, your redemption plan is truly a master plan. Thank you for saving us, Lord. If there's anyone listening who's just wondering, when should I give my heart to Jesus? I know that I need salvation. We pray, oh God, that you convince them that now is the time to do it. Today, if you hear God's voice, harden not your heart, says your word. So we pray, Father, that you will encourage those who need salvation and know it, and that you encourage those of us who have already accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We thank you. We bless you. We give you thanks in no other name but the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.